Hey everybody, and welcome back to another episode of the 423 Soccer Pod. This is Jim, aka Chad Aguner, and I am joined as always by, well, not as always, but for the last three or four episodes, with three co-hosts, Shelly Ayers, Shabby, and Todd, aka Great Footballer. We'll talk about how you can find them on the socials a little bit later. We have a fifth person on the call tonight, and I'm really excited. I'll just preface this by saying how this idea came up for me to talk with Darrell was the club put out an announcement a couple of days ago, or was it just yesterday? I don't remember. For the schedule for the NISA men's team. And, well, I guess there's not a NISA women's team, so it's the men's team. And we had a conversation about like the language that we were using. Last week we talked among ourselves about how we had noticed a change in the social, like the social accounts for CFC, and we were like pleased and excited with some of the changes that we saw. And so we got to talking about language. There were some DMs sent back and forth. There were some messages sent back and forth, and I thought, hey, let's just have a conversation about this and hear what the club's plans are. And so I reached out to Darrell, and he agreed to be on the show. So Darrell, thanks for joining us, and how are you doing I'm fumbling around. How are you doing tonight?
Yeah, I'm doing great. Thanks for having me. I have joked that I've told a bunch of people that I've listened to no less than probably 12 to 13 hours of CFC podcast during the holidays. So it's kind of, so I guess I'll have to skip this episode that I'm on because I don't want to hear it myself do it, but I'm glad to be on here. You guys got me through the holidays.
Jack Daniel. That's
a compliment indeed.
Very much so.
I guess. Did you stay awake during all of it, or did you?
No, it was during the drive, you know, and so.
Oh, okay.
You know, stick the AirPods in, and so while I'm in the car, it's also kind of a chance for me to kind of catch up on, you know, some of the nuances of the club that, you know, that you don't know until you listen to this stuff. So.
Oh my gosh! All right, yeah, that's scary. You're learning stuff from us. That's that
new on.
Yeah. I think it's fair maybe for those of our listeners that maybe don't have the nuance of who you are. Maybe we talk a little bit more about you and your role. So Darrell Stalvey, am I pronouncing your name correctly?
Yeah, that's good.
And you are the director of communication and content for Chattanooga Football Club. Please tell us what that means.
Oh my gosh. So on a broad stroke, it's helping the front office and Jeremy in particular kind of shape what the message and what the story is going to be, you know, whether it be long term or also, you know, just tactically on what information we need to push out, you know, for the next day, for the next week. So it's, you know, if you're familiar with, you know, my background is in television and in news, and it's essentially we're like running a very, very miniature news and information department. So it's a mix of vision and a mix of, you know, tactical.
Awesome.
So how did you become a supporter of CFC? When did you first kind of fall in love with the blue?
You know, I found my way into the game, into being a follower of the game, and then specifically CFC through my kids. My oldest, Zoe, who graduates high school this year, was on that very first CFC Academy team as a U9 player in 2012. So I'm sure that between 2009 and 2012, I probably went to a game or two, but nothing really stood out to me from those first few years. But after 2012, when our oldest, you know, was involved in the academy, we were there literally every game, and then, you know, all the exhibitions and all of that. And it just, you know, it just got, you know, deeper and deeper connection. And of course, 2015, 2016, all those, you know, those years that we all remember so well. It was fueled by then. So it definitely was through my kids, and it was something our family just did. You know, there wasn't ever, we never even talked about, hey, are we going to the CFC game on Saturday? Like, we just knew we were.
And then how did that transition from being in the stands to being in the front office?
Well, you know, I, as I mentioned, I worked in TV. I was at Channel 3 as the news director for a little bit more than 10 years. So I was not involved at all on the front office side, other than just every now and then, you know, somebody might reach out and ask my opinion or ask my advice on something related to media or communication, but in no official capacity at all. I was more involved in the academy side up until this year. And, you know, obviously with my kids playing, that made me closer connected to the academy. And, you know, I would help them out on the side, just kind of in an advisory role. And then that transitioned to more of a, you know, side hustle on helping the academy with communication. I'm still doing my full-time job with TV and would help the academy in kind of a part-time / contract role as needed, and kind of manage all their social media and all their internal communication. And then, you know, the club, the first team in the academy in the last couple of years, since 2018 and when Jeremy came, really became way more connected than we'd ever been. Like I said, I've been around the academy since 2012. Never has it been as connected to the first team as now. The left hand didn't know what the right hand was doing back then. That goes both ways. So as we became more connected, I think I became more visible to some of the folks in the front office. And then, you know, the club grew and became professional, and they had a capacity to do some more things on the communication and content side. And I was transitioning from a crazy career of chasing ambulances and covering homicides. And this is kind of a really, really good second phase that, you know, isn't without stress, but it certainly is a different kind of stress than what doing real TV is.
When did you officially take over that position at CFC?
First week of June. So my first game was the game my first game in this capacity was against Stumptown and covering Rod and you know, that I think we ended up losing maybe by 1-0 that game. So I remember that game very well. So ironically, it started with Rod's visit.
Well, you know, there has been a couple of changes that came about with the kind of the social or the club's appearance and accounts on social media, particularly Twitter. Yeah, I'm wondering if you could talk a little bit about how we got to the point, you know, where we've had at Chattanooga FC for a long time. When the women's team was here before, they had a completely separate Twitter account. And now we've got kind of a club account and two match day accounts, or two team specific accounts, where at CFC underscore men and at CFC underscore women. I think those are the two handles. Could you talk a little bit about how the thought process behind splitting those up and what you think or how you think the club's planning on using those going forward?
Yeah. You know, once the women's team was being brought back, we knew that we didn't want to separate that content, and we wanted, you know, that the main Chattanooga FC Twitter account has such a huge following. It would be a shame to not make sure that entire following knew everything great that's going to be happening on the women's side. So as we tell the women's team story, and there'll be more of those things to tell as we have coaches and we have players and games and schedules and all of that. So as we ramp up, we want to make sure that is amplified into the main account, because it's all going to live there. There will be times where during an actual match or doing a live event, like the branding reveal a couple weeks ago, where we will be more, you know, minute by minute type content on a team specific account. In this case, at CFC underscore women, or the match day account for the men's team would be CFC underscore men, because everyone following that main account may not want to hear about every single corner kick during a live match, because that's a large, broad audience that's there. But there are people who do want that, so they will have an option, and there'll be people that we're sure will follow the CFC women account but not follow the CFC men account, and that's totally fine, and vice versa. But there will be one CFC account that all the content, all the major content kind of funnels through.
Well, given the fact that you have explained that we have the separate accounts now, do you think that there's going to be a specific voice that the club hopes to use for each of those accounts, or some sort of continuity that makes it fluid?
That's a good question. I will tell you that the club has a guide on what our brand voice is, and that is just the brand voice for Chattanooga Football Club. It is not for the men, for the women. So, you know, this is fluid. It could change. We can adapt. We can be flexible if we feel like, and if the supporters also feel like there needs to be a slightly different voice. But the short answer to your question is right now, whether you follow any of those three accounts, the main account or the sub accounts for the men or the sub account for the women, it should feel like CFC. It shouldn't feel any different.
I love this so much. And I think what you're pointing out there about the brand guidelines being for one club is really key. One of the things that we had talked about a lot in the women's advisory board to the women's team was that we really wanted there to be a very clear and present showing of equity, you know, a true commitment to equality. And I think knowing that there's this one voice and that's the brand, that is CFC, is really important. And it was something that, you know, I've had this conversation with Jeremy a few times, even when the schedule came out, you know, we were talking about, does it make sense that it doesn't say men's anywhere? Like, if someone doesn't know, how would they know? And is it insulting to our audience to assume that, sure, of course they would understand if they see that there's a men's picture in the poster and the crest is the dark blue crest, that we know that's the men's? And if it were the exact same schedule, but it was, you know, the sky blue crest and it had a picture of a woman player, then that's the women's team schedule. And I love that there is already this intentionality toward that equity.
Yeah. I mean, without a doubt. And, you know, this club has always led with visual design, like well before me. And so that's going to continue. And you know, in the case of that poster, it was such a visual poster. There's a male player on it. There's a navy blue crest. There's a NISA logo. There were plenty of cues that was the men's team poster. And then, you know, when we see the women's team poster, it's going to visually be obvious, even without words, what team that represents. And when all the schedules are set and we know the men's schedule, we know the women's schedule, there would be a poster that will include both of those. But, you know, because schedules don't come out when we would always like them to come out, things still have to start to go to print. So in a perfect world, would there have been a mass printing of both the women's schedule and the men? Of course there would have been. But the reality is we only have the men's schedule and we have men's games starting in 2 or 3 weeks. And we need to get those out. So that one just had the men's schedule, but there's going to be one that you will see looks exactly like, not exactly, of course, but looks very similar to the one that we just released on the men's schedule. And there's going to be kind of a better together version that will include both the men's and women's schedule. So that, you know, for people who want to go to anything CFC, regardless of which, you know, side of the office it is, there's one schedule for everything.
I love that. And with that in mind, do you already have some tricks up your sleeve or some points in the brand guideline for how to avoid the main account automatically feeling like it's a default for the men's? Because that's what we're trying to avoid. We don't want the default to be men.
Absolutely. And I think one way to do that is that CFC women account, as you'll notice, it's pretty quiet when there's nothing going on, meaning when there's no game, there's no live event, and that's intentional. When we do announce the women's coach, that announcement is going to originate on the main channel and then be retweeted by the women's channel. It's not going to be the other way around. Like, we want to be intentional about the news about this club, men's team or women's team, is coming from the main account. If it's a live event, if it's a game, it's going to come from those other sub accounts. But I mean, the other kind of marching orders for us internally is, if the visual if the photograph or the graphic or the video is clear which team it is, we're not writing CFC men or CFC women. It's just CFC. If there is no visual to go with that tweet or that post, and we need to clarify, doesn't mean we won't forget, doesn't mean we won't mess up and make mistakes, we absolutely will. But the goal is to, in those situations, that's when we need to make sure that it's clear this announcement or this factoid or whatever you have is about the CFC women's team.
And Darrell, I realize we're kind of digging really deep into this, but will there be any sort of like cross communication, like, you know, support from the women's account to the men and vice versa on game days and that sort of thing? Or are you clearly looking to keep those channels exclusive to the women's side and the men's side?
Most likely just keep them to that content, because we just want to be consistent on that. And we want to respect the fact that that's the beautiful thing about Twitter. And I know, you know, we have other social media, but you know, Twitter is the only thing that we have everything separated, because the beauty of that platform is, you guys know this, I mean, you can get very, very narrow on content. So we want to be respectful of people who have followed that account for a particular reason. We even put it in the bio. It says, this account is for live, you know, don't quote me on it, but it's something along the lines of it's match day content and live events for the men's team, period. That's what it's for. Women's team, that's what it's for. The cross promotion is going to happen from the main account. We have a couple hundred followers on those sub accounts. We have, I haven't looked in a while, but a lot on the main account. So if we, that's where the message is going to get out. I mean, for those of us who want to make sure that the women's team is amplified, the very best place to amplify that is going to be in front of 14,500 followers on the main account, more than it is a few hundred people on the men's account. Does that make sense, or answer the question at least?
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I think for me, it's refreshing to hear too. Not that things were horrible before, but it's nice that you all are having the thought process to think of those things now to really make sure that we are hitting into the seasons, because, you know, starting at the end of the month, at least for the men's side, it's good to know that there's this intentionality that is going forward. Like, we know what we want to do. We've got a game plan. And again, I said, no one's perfect. I think it would be foolish for people to think that everything's going to be perfect out the gate and everything's going to get caught the right way. But it does, I think, breathe a positive light that the club is doing everything possible to make sure that we have this continuity, that we aren't, you know, letting things fall by the wayside. And I think that's going to be great. I think that as the season progresses on both sides, I think that hopefully it'll generate some bandwidth and growth, which will be good too, as you see like the traffic flowing between the two page or all the three pages, theoretically, four if you count the academy.
Exactly. And, you know, the good thing about us being intentional is, well, you're being intentional. The other side is, when we make mistakes, then we will be and should be held accountable, because, like, I thought you guys had plans for this and you still messed up, but that's going to happen. But just do know that if we do kind of a misstep, that's exactly what it is. It's not because, you know, we're just throwing stuff at the wind and hoping it sticks, because we do appreciate the sensitivity of the history of, you know, the women's team and how much has gone into bringing it back. And we don't want to, no one wants to mess that up. No one wants to look like we, you know, don't care enough to actually put together a plan. And whether there was a plan in the past or not, I don't know. But the reality is, we are better staffed now, literally from a headcount standpoint and from a experience brought to the table, not just me, but a lot of other people, that it's going to be easier to have a plan, quite frankly. You know, you've got more people at the table, more diverse thoughts and ideas and professional and life experiences. So, that, you know, that's not to take anything away from everybody who's working on it, but the reality is, when you get more people who can invest their time and professional energy into something, it might turn out a little bit different.
Darrell, I'm really glad that you brought that up, because, you know, in my head, I was thinking, you know, was this even something that was possible 10 years ago? Absolutely not. Is it something that's possible 5 years ago? Maybe, but probably not. And it does take like more manpower to produce this sort of high quality content. I hate to even remotely compare, but even, you know, I manage some accounts for the Monday Night Football show we do, and just generating the minimal content for that on a couple of different platforms, it's not something that can really be done at any sort of high level without just an immense amount of time. And so when I look back and I think, well, you know, were we really, the chances are we were doing all we could do, and I say we as in the club, to facilitate equality across different brands, perhaps. And perhaps it was just, you know, we did not have enough manpower and money to do it. And it seems like we're just at a different place now. And the difference in the content coming across in the last, like, probably 12 to 18 months has just been immensely different and more professional than we've ever seen.
Well, I mean, just look at the product on the field. We're still CFC. There's no one would dispute that the level of players that are at Finley today are significantly different than a lot of the players who, of course, we love and owe a lot to. But something changes when you become professional. That should also change in other areas of the club. And that's what I think Jeremy's trying to do.
Well, no, that brings up a question, too. Between that and what Todd was saying is that, you know, clearly over the past 12 to 18 months, there have been great leaps and bounds of improvements. And I'm telling you, there are days that I laugh so hard whenever I'm looking at social from the club, not only on Twitter, but on Instagram. So, I mean, knowing that you are better staffed, as you said, can you talk a little bit about who all kind of is behind not only the Twitter, but maybe the other social accounts that we have? Because obviously it takes a village. But, you know, a lot of people might not know exactly who does help with, you know, the normal day-to-day or even game day stuff, because I know it can't just be one person that's doing on a match day all of the Twitter and all of the Insta posts and all of the Facebook. So can you talk to us a little bit about what goes into all of that?
Who am I yelling at? That's what I want to know. Who am I yelling at?
I don't know. This one's really scary to answer because there's something very safe about sometimes tweeting from a brand account. I mean, on one hand, it's super scary, but it also is kind of safe.
Instead of giving names, if you're not comfortable with that, how many people.
Yeah, how many people it takes to actually do it, especially on a match day, because there is so much. I mean, there's a lot going on now, but on a match day, there is so much that goes into the social presence. So, yeah, I'm sure there's plenty of people other than us that are curious as to how many people it actually takes on the social end of things to put out what the club's producing.
So on a off season or non-match day when, you know, we don't have to staff up fully, it's usually one and a half to one and two halves people. So I divide my time between the academy and the first team for a total of full time. So this is all I do at this point in my career. In addition, we have Charlie Milburn, who he and I go way back, all the way back to UT, literally graduated the exact same year in college. So we've known each other since then. And he's still with the club and still generating a lot of that social content, but he has, a different, you know, career during the day. So he helps a lot on that. And then during an actual game day, we staff up with probably at least four people. And that's a mix of interns, single day contracted people, you know, who service some of those accounts. And they all have kind of marching orders of, okay, on Instagram, this is our, you know, it's still one CFC voice, but this is the type of content for Instagram. This is the type of content for Facebook. This is the frequency for Instagram, different frequency on Facebook and Twitter. You know, we can tweet every 3 minutes on a game day, and we're probably not going to get a ton of pushback. You start posting Instagram every 3 minutes, and that's just, you know, crazy. So we divide it that way. We divide it by one person is kind of captaining, you know, captain of the Instagram account for game day. Another person is captain of two people at least, or captain of Twitter. So I guess let me circle back and kind of give you just hard numbers. Non-game day, off season, one and a half people are kind of running all of the accounts. then we kind of beef up on game day. And one thing that helps on game day is we, I guess, you know, for the thousands of people who are listening to this, they can peek behind the curtain. Some of those game day posts are pre-scheduled, and that helps us a lot. We know what time kickoff is, you know, we can pre-schedule some of those things. We know what to say an hour before kickoff. We know what to say 2 hours before kickoff. So some of those things we plan throughout the week. And that allows us to be more organic and nimble when the content really starts to happen.
So, I have to push back just a little bit, because I'm going to go back to the language part a little, and you knew I was going to do this. I don't think it's petty, although that may be the word that you used. there's a textual component to Twitter, and there's increasingly a visual component to Twitter, but not everybody sees both at the same time. And so, like, depending on your settings, or if you're viewing it on a phone, or if you're viewing on your computer, or however, I understand and I do appreciate the fact that, you know, I mean, I assumed that you guys weren't just doing this off the cuff. I mean, I assumed that there was some intentional thought but put behind it. I've seen the brand guide. I don't know if I've seen the you know, kind of the voice. It may be in the brand guide. I've got an old one, so it may have changed. But, you know, so I know that the thought has gone in, but there's two components, especially to Twitter. I think it's so easy to slip into, oh, here's our WPSL calendar. And here's our calendar, or here's our schedule. Now, none of that's happened, like you said, and there will be some slip ups, but, I think if I read a tweet and it says, here's our schedule, you know, I can click on the image and now I know what we're talking about. But, to me, it would make sense that it said, here's our men's team schedule, here's our women's team schedule. If the club main account ever did some things with the academy, they might say, well, here's what the academy is doing. So to me, that just makes some sense. And I get it that if you click on the picture, there's a picture of someone who looks like they identify as a man. So that's probably the men's team. And here's someone who looks like they might identify as a woman. So that's the women's team. I get that. I will just gently push back and say, I think it makes sense to me to make some of those distinctions in the text in addition to the visual.
Yeah. I mean, I hear you, Jim. I don't know of many social media apps that when we post a visual, that the visual doesn't just show. There may be settings to where you have to click to actually show a visual, but it's for the most part, if someone's scrolling through their timeline on any social media platform, the visual that we put up there is going to be there. So again, if the visual is not clear, as I said before, then we want to make sure that we're, just for the clarity of the audience, I mean, forget whether or not we're trying to be inclusive or anything like that, just, which of course we are, but the basics is just to make sure that the audience understands what the heck we're talking about. So if for no other reason than that, we want to include it when it's not obvious.
Like I said, this is just a gentle nudge. I appreciate when you reached out to DM and we could talk a little bit back and forth. I think the thing that I'm most concerned about, and I know you're concerned about it, I know the club's concerned about it, is that, you know, that slipping up of using descriptors for the women's team, but not for the men's team. And I think that's the one thing that's going to be noticed the most.
Yeah.
I'll go back to what I said. I think we talked about it a week ago or 2 weeks ago. There is a noticeable difference in the social media content that's being put out by the club, maybe this year. And, you know, the movie, the videos that are out, the organization of the three accounts, I think, was done really well. So there's a lot for me to be happy about and pleased about. And not that you guys sit around the table and figure out how to please me. I mean, that would be nice, but I don't assume that you do that.
I mean, why should anyone start now?
Right. Why should they start now? But, you know, again, I do, and I don't know how much you had to do with that. I don't know how much where do you sit in the structure of the club? Like, this is one thing that I've always wondered about. Well, not always, just for the past couple of months, like, you know, what the, in terms of the structure of the front office, kind of where do you sit in that structure?
I report to Jeremy. I'm part of the management team for the first team. So there are three of us who are on that on a regular basis, three plus a board member. So I'm part of that mm-hmm. group. So I mean, we're not a gigantic staff, but we meet, you know, the full staff meets once a week. Of course, departments meet regularly, but yeah, I'm part of that, I guess, group that reports to Jeremy. Did that kind of, okay. I don't know if that, all right. I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah. That's what I mean. I was interested in that.
Am I one to blame? Is it, like, can you, maybe you're trying to figure out, okay, how much of a role does this guy have? Like, is he the one I need to be mad at? So the answer is yes, it is. I really don't have anybody else that I can deflect to. Jeremy does a really
good. That's what I need to know.
Yeah. So he's there to answer my questions. He's there to give me feedback. He's a great mentor from a
sure you
know, sports, sure. but he kind of leaves me alone to do our thing.
Things a little bit lighter. I'm just curious, yeah. like just kind of to change it up a bit. Since you've been in your current position, has there been a particular post or tweet that you're most proud of, or that that was just had the most anticipation about it and maybe like how it was received?
So I'll tell you one that I was probably the most nervous about, not knowing how it would be received, was the schedule announcement, because it was so dumb. And it could have either been not the poster schedule, but the video schedule announcement using the stock footage. So that could have gone really, really badly because the joke could have gone over people's heads. So that one, not to say that's something we're the most proud of, but that's probably the one that was maybe our biggest gamble because it wasn't what people who follow this club are used to seeing. And then
I thought
maybe
it was
our
great.
Oh yeah, it was a
well,
hoot.
You know, I have to. Yeah, it was. It could have
so
been.
Amusing.
It could have been a hoot, or it could have been a total disaster. So, kind of glad it wasn't. But probably one of our most. We look at our analytics a lot to find out what works, what didn't work, what fell flat. Some of the things that we think is just hilarious. We put it out there, and it's crickets, and that's totally fine. That never hurts our feelings. We take that data, and we're like, okay. That probably didn't work. We either posted that at the wrong time of day, or maybe it was just way off brand and people didn't get it. But the Photoshop that one of our interns did to put Messi's face on one of our players over the summer, I think is still our most engaged content. Other than Damien, anything we put on Damien is super highly engaged. So his first goal might be our most engaged content. But other than that, something that we actually created with, you know, just being creative. One of our interns did the Photoshop on the Messi photo. It's still one of our most popular. Do you remember that, Todd?
Yes, that to me.
That
oh,
one
I
was
definitely
really
remember
funny.
That. But I know, but I wouldn't have guessed that was one of the most engaged ones. Now the kid getting the attention that doesn't shock me at all.
Yeah, yeah. But what I love about those Photoshop is that if you're an intern at CFC and you have a good idea, it doesn't matter who you are, like everybody's going to be able to contribute. And that's why I love that one did so well, is because that helps us when we're recruiting interns to say, your stuff can go all the way as far as you want it to go.
On the flip side, is there something that you thought was just going to hit and it just got crickets, like something we might remember? Well, we probably won't remember it if it got crickets, but just something that you thought was really going to do well.
I can't remember. I know there's plenty hopefully not plenty, but it's if anything on our Instagram page, gets less than 100, that usually tells us that probably didn't work. That was not as funny as we thought it was. but again, it's more of a missed opportunity than it is hurting the club. I'm way more concerned with kind of, you can get the wrong kind of attention, right? We can say something really, really stupid and it completely blows up for all the wrong reasons. So I would take crickets over, you know, messing up this brand.
Yeah.
On a post.
Well, and that's kind of a nice segue to, you know, as a brand, I've never been the social media manager for a brand. Well, I guess technically I'm the social media manager for the podcast account, but
yes,
as
you are.
Guess,
you took animals off our logo today in honor of World Wildlife Day.
Yeah,
look,
I did.
At you.
I did take all the animals out of our logo today. That's true. That's true, Todd. Thank you. Thank you for reminding me. But what's life like kind of in the middle of, you know, I don't know that we've had anything really overly controversial where people were pinging the club with nasty comments, but what's life like when, you know, on kind of the day-to-day general responses that the club account gets?
I mean, in general, it's overwhelmingly positive. I mean, that's not to say we never receive criticism. Obviously we do, but it's not like we open up the comments with dread, you know, where we're like, oh God, what storm are we in today? We try to avoid that as best we can. But we're human beings and we care so much about this club. It's not just, you know, our jobs. I mean, all of us started everything with this club as fans first. So when we hear people be critical, I mean, you wouldn't be human if that didn't affect you in some way. So we try to, especially if we know the person that's being critical, if we can, you know, talk to them one-on-one and explain what's going on and the thought process, sometimes that helps, because it's very easy to just tee off and let things get out of hand in comments. We don't want to stunt that in any way. That's not the point here, but sometimes you can engage better with somebody you know before things get too out of hand. But since June, at least since I've been moderating some of those comments, there's not been any major firestorms that really affected us day to day, other than we notice it. We might like, okay, let's watch this thread. Let's make sure this topic doesn't, you know, go in a direction that would cause us to have to, you know, say something publicly about it. So, I mean, that's just basic PR. Not prevent the conversation, but be prepared to react if it, you know, needs to be. I mean, we can't react to every single criticism. That's never been the point of our social media. It's really just more about you watched it and see if it's growing, and then that lets you know if you need to clarify or, but knock on wood, I haven't had to do that since I've been here.
Well, might I say, to bring this up, talking about, you know, what went well and what didn't, I will say I was quite appreciative during the season last year when there was the accidental curse word tweet that made me cackle because it was so funny. Just the second time that this has happened, the first time it got deleted, and I get it, but I am very appreciative that y'all just owned it this time because it was so funny that that it would have been a shame to lose that forever in the Twitterverse.
Yes, I remember exactly what you're talking about. And the person that tweeted the curse word, I saw, like, it's like the very first comment to the tweet was kind of funny. And I forget what it was, but I was like, okay, first comment, and maybe even the second comment, looks like we're getting a pass. And then so I screenshotted it and sent it to the person who made the typo. And I was like, hey, I think we should just let this one ride. And, you know, they replied back and, you know, thought it was hilarious too. So you're right. Maybe if the reaction would have been different, we might have deleted it and then maybe explained, hey, previous tweet included this word, you know, a word, sorry about that, our bad. But yeah, we took a chance on that one and let it ride. The comments do kind of help guide the conversation. That's the beauty of social media. Even if we don't actually respond to it, it does kind of shift us sometimes. 100% it does.
Oh yeah. And I think and that makes sense too, but it's one of those things that makes it see, you know, I think having things like that happen, because you can tell it wasn't intentional, but it was so funny in the moment. I think it just shows kind of the reality of everyday life, because that could happen to everyone. Everyone's had something like that happen. It's just even funnier when people roll with it, because the comments sometimes are better than even the original post. And I mean, I can still go back and still laugh when I look at it because it's that funny.
Yeah. I love that.
Well, hey, I really appreciate your time with us. I don't want to cut anyone else have questions. I don't want to cut folks off. If there's a pressing question that you want to ask anybody, I don't see, of course I can't see Todd, but everybody else is shaking their heads. So
I'm cloaked in darkness in Bradley County. And that just, so many layers to that comment.
Waiting on Elon to arrive. Yeah.
Waiting for Elon.
All my satellites got shipped to Ukraine. I don't know if you guys saw that.
I'm pretty sure that the name of your memoir is going to be called Waiting for Elon.
Waiting for Elon. Yeah. And hopefully it's not the same as Godot. Hopefully not. But Darrell, thank you for being here and talking with us about, I think everybody, this is the first Twitter blue check we've had on the podcast.
Hey. So,
hey, we're doing something right.
Wow. Yeah, yes, I know.
Thank you for coming
on.
Yeah.
Moving on up.
The sponsors all the
time. That's right. The first verified account. So we're in the presence of greatness.
They'll give those to anybody.
No, they won't give them to everybody.
Well, my kids aren't impressed. I need to impress.
Well, again, thanks a lot. I know you're coming. Well, I guess you've got a little bit of time to get ready before you've got to go pick somebody up at training for the academy. But I appreciate you spending time with us. It was great to get to talk with you a little bit more about the kind of the philosophy and the voice that the club wants to use when engaging with the public through social media. So I really appreciate your time.
For everybody listening, keep the feedback, keep the scrutiny coming. It really does make us better. It's not always easy to hear, but the reality is most good decisions we've made have been as a result of really, really good feedback. So keep that coming.
All right. Thanks a lot. I hope you have a good night.
Have a good night. See you.
Bye.
Bye. Thanks for joining us.
Well, we appreciate Darrell being on, Director of Communications and Content for the Chattanooga Football Club. And, I forgot to ask him. We asked this right before we started recording, but, we were going to ask him like, hey, I know we're recording at night. Did you have any big plans to reveal the women's coach tomorrow? I don't know if you heard Luna too. Just responded. Yeah, Luna wants to be a part of the podcast. I forgot to ask. Yeah. I don't think we are that close, although
we're getting closer, maybe we're closer. But I know Clymer tweeted a little bit ago, it's his birthday this Saturday, so he's hoping it'll be announced. But
yes,
I think it's still another week or so. That's my gut.
I saw that. Well, we did have some news from the club this week, and I took the opportunity to, I was kind of digging through the Twitter feed to make sure that I got the player announcements that came out since we've chatted last. Then I went in and looked at the update that the club sends out via email, and there's the VFL Wolfsburg Soccer School that's going to be starting, which I think is really cool. And I believe it's like, I guess it's for all the academy ages. I don't remember. I saw the young ones were a part of it. Does it go all the way up to U18, U19? I don't remember.
I am fairly certain that it stops at under 18. I'm looking right now.
I'm not sure how involved Wolfsburg is with it. I know that Chris is doing the training. I can't remember. There's somebody else from the staff that's helping with the training of the academy. But again, if you have a kid who's playing with the academy or a kid who wants some additional training, that Wolfsburg soccer school is going to be starting in the spring. And I think that's again, another sign that relationship between CFC and Wolfsburg is there's more to it than just a scarf or, a shirt sponsorship. So I thought that was cool.
To answer your question, though, it goes to 18 to answer your question. 18 is 18? The okay, endpoint.
So, all right, yeah. So it goes all the way, basically just goes to all the age groups of the club, of the academy. But hey, we signed another forward.
Yay!
How about
Yay!
That? So Luke Ferreira, I think I'm pronouncing that name right.
That's pretty my guess.
He went to college in Florida, played in League 2 and NPSL, also in South Florida. Spent, you know, had a cup of tea. I don't know what they drink in Norway. with the first division the first division in Norway, and then spent I think a year or two in USL Championship at Colorado Springs with Switchbacks. He looks like an outside player, like a winger. We have another forward. Has anybody else seen, did you watch video of him? Todd, did you watch any video of him?
Yeah, I did. And I agree. He kind of looks like an outside player. Comes with quite a bit of experience. He's been around. Interesting fact, he holds both citizenship, born in New Jersey, but holds Portuguese and Brazilian citizenship as well.
Yeah.
Kind of interesting there, has a pedigree for sure. We'll see.
Yep.
When you look down his stats, has not scored a tremendous amount of goals in his career. So he may be more of a setup guy. So we'll see. It's like a lot of these guys. The only thing we have to go of is what the internet provides us. But he looks the part, so we'll see what he does.
Well, and he's a little older player for us, too. I think he's, 27? I think 26, 27? No, I mean, not that that's old.
Yeah, I believe
but,
so.
I mean, you know, in the realm.
Yeah, 26.
Ancient.
But, yeah, I mean, if you think about it, it's that in the realm of, especially soccer, well, we've talked about this before. In football, you could probably play until you're blasted 60 if you were pretty unbreakable. Baseball, things like that. But for soccer standards, especially for a signee that we have, I mean, it's older than some that we've had in the past, but not that that's going to be, but with age comes experience.
And we've also signed a couple of midfielders. I don't believe we had signed Alex Hernandez by the last time we spoke. I think that he was signed after we spoke last. So he spent time, I believe, at NC State and Appalachian State. I will tell you, he reminded me a lot when I was watching video of him. Again, he's a kind of a midfielder, seems to be, but I remember him being on the outside. I've seen 6 minutes of him play. So, you know, I can't speak to all that he has, but he reminded me a little bit of Damien, to be honest, just his movement. And, we'll see. This is his first professional contract. And then the second midfielder we signed again, is a first professional contract. Ethan Corin, I'm not sure how to pronounce his name. He has spent time at the Orlando City Development Academy and was a part of the Richmond Kickers USL practice roster last year. Another midfielder. I have seen exactly 30 seconds of him play. I basically saw him take a very nice free kick for the, I believe he was playing for Orlando City.
That was Academy a nice free kick. Point.
He also has had some international play too. Sweden.
Oh, he does?
He did it a couple of times in Sweden.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay. A couple of cups of whatever they drink in Sweden. I need to research my leisurely drinks of the
chocolate. Maybe he had some hot
I'm
chocolate.
Thinking it's all alcohol. It's
yeah.
Different types, different all flavors, alcohol. But it's always
yeah.
Alcohol.
I mean, that general realm. Sweden, Finland, Norway, like your Nordic countries, they are excellent drinkers because it's cold. It all get out.
So. Yeah. Is it the Swedes that eat that incredibly terrible, nasty fish, that the canned fish stuff that's like,
so.
Yeah, Bill. That everybody there's a lot of YouTube, TikTok videos of people trying to keep that down.
Fermented fish.
Yeah, I think that's the Swedes. I think that's the Swedes.
Hey, if it makes some better players, go for it.
Another thing about the Luke Ferreira is that as I stalk his Wikipedia page, and I saw this the other day, he was actually in youth career. He was in the Brazilian club Fluminense, which is definitely a story club in Brazil. So he was back in 2011. He was at their academy. It looks like in his youth career. And, as well as maybe like another Brazilian side, Sertanese.
Is this Luke? Luke you're talking about, I assume?
It is.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah. And then in Portugal, he was at another youth club. So, like I said, he has pedigree. We'll see what he does.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a lot of it's how their game translates to, you know, the team and to the league. So, you know, hopefully his game translates well. And, you know, it seems to be, this is going to be, that we're probably going to be scoring a lot of team goals. And I would think so. There's a lot of link up play. So, you know, I don't know that we need somebody who's going to go out and bang in 20 goals. Although I would appreciate that. I would not turn that down. But you know, I think we're probably going to see goals spread among a number of people on the team. Then I want to rewind a little bit back to Greg Stratton. It's because in the club called him a defender, and I went looking for some video, and one of the videos I saw had him listed as a left back, right back. So we may have found our drummer. So we may have actually found our next Spinal Tap drummer. So he may be our left back. You know, he's, I believe he's right footed. So, you know, we can, maybe he has a good left foot though. Maybe he's more two footed than certainly I am. So, so we may have our left back, and he may be able to play both outside back positions, which is always nice to have some depth. Although he's the only left back I know of on the team. So,
what are we up to? So 20 signings now?
20
signings.
Yeah, with 20. The most recent, we're at 20.
Yeah, we've got 20. I think there is one academy signing left. I don't know who that is. I don't know if it's Damien's brother or if it's like Angel or somebody else. Todd, do you know? Have you talked with Angel lately?
I have no insight into that whatsoever.
Yeah.
You know, I was interested in like how we, these last two players that were announced this week, was it Corin and Ferreira? How are we saying that?
Yeah.
We should ask him sometime.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, but anyway, I was curious, like, what were our inroads to these players? You know, were these guys that came in for the, you know, the combine, or were they, you know, how did we come about it? Because they didn't appear to be from anywhere, you know, in the region. So, and it actually turns out that these were through scouting as well as through agents. So, kind of interesting. You know, we're kind of using all resources to put this squad together and not relying on, it doesn't look like we're solely relying on our own connections.
Yeah, because I was noticing too.
I think that makes sense.
It does. I mean, because you want to tap into every avenue and outlet that you can, because it helps with your depths of play that you can find. But I wondered the same thing too, Todd, because I went and looked, because the names didn't sound familiar from the open tryouts. So they had, and obviously I wasn't at the combine, because I had things going on that weekend, but I am glad to know that they are using every possible avenue that could, you know, that I guess that's at their disposal to try to switch things up. Cause, and again, this goes back to my philosophy. This team is really brand spanking new to basically all of us. So mm-hmm. It's going to be ill.
Yeah.
It's going to be
refreshing
isn't the right word, but it's going to be, there'll be a different energy, because we're going to be having our eyes on players like some of these we've never seen before, you know, anywhere. So
only,
that'll be fun.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, only 6 of the 20 are returning players or familiar to us from a, you know, a CFC heritage. So this is, it's a whole new world.
It is.
How many ex-stump players have we brought on?
I believe we stopped the clock at 5.
Okay.
Is that,
so
is
we
that right?
So the CFC players outnumber the former Stumptown players, at least. I guess my thought is what we're talking about is this is a very, very new team, and only bringing back 6 players from the previous roster is really, it's going to be very difficult, and it'll be interesting to see how this team meshes together. because they'll have to do it in very short order. And I would be interested to know how we're going to gel together and how we're going to go out there. Because, I mean, if we struggle in the first few games, I'm not going to be surprised. It's hard to have this many new faces on one squad and to come out of the gate firing on all cylinders. And especially when you look at the different mixes of experience levels in this. I mean, we got some guys that are coming straight out of college. We got some guys that it doesn't look like they ever played college or they ever played high school, and they've played academy and club. You got guys that are vastly experienced in the professional ranks. And when you look at Dixon and you're number 10, and you look at guys that are experienced within our own club with, you know, Juan being here as long as he has. So it's going to be very interesting to see how this group mixes together. And then coming with the core that we have from last year of, you know, it's six players, but then, you know, the core that comes from Stumptown, five players. I mean, that's a lot of players from one club, and then see how Rod, you know, tries to gel this group together. It's going to be interesting.
Well, just to along, you know, we're not the only ones in that boat, Todd. I mean, we open up with Maryland. Maryland has a vastly different squad and a new head coach. And then after that, in our first five matches, we play Maryland twice. The other three matches we play these teams didn't exist last year.
It's going to be a whole new world with those, no matter what. We don't really know what we're getting into. I mean, then,
but this is kind of exciting.
And we don't play teams, and we play Maryland twice, and then we don't play LA and Michigan, which are our next two games against teams that existed last year until June. So, you know, we have a lot, our front loaded with a lot of the new teams.
And we're going into an open cup with basically a new team as well, you know?
Well, yeah. But I mean, you know, open cup is, I mean, we're playing Division II team. So that's always going to be, that's always going to be tricky. And, but, you know, I will say that, you know, we played well against Memphis. We did not give up a goal in the run of play, and we scored, and Memphis played another League One team recently and lost. And so, I mean, these are, you know, preseason friendlies. I never put too much into them. So I wouldn't suggest that we put too much into, we don't know who's playing or anything like that, but I'm excited about having Memphis at home. And I think I like our chances. A couple of things the club also did, I wanted to just highlight and see if you guys saw them and get your thoughts on them. I have a couple of community things that we did. Read Across America Day was yesterday. Mm-hmm. Is that right? Recently.
Love seeing this.
I went to two elementary schools, Eastside and Eastlake, Alex McGrath and Frankie Martinez. That's the Stumptown contingency went to Eastside. And then Eastlake Elementary, Richard Dixon and Kevin Gonzalez. So I guess we wanted to get the Stumptown guys out into the elementary schools and read the
kids.
And
I've done that before with the club, and it's a lot of fun. And seeing the kids with the players was pretty unique. And pretty cool.
Now, what I do miss is, you know, the reading to them. You have the YouTube. Remember Cam?
Yes. Uh-huh.
So I don't know. I think we missed an opportunity to have somebody read a book on YouTube again. And then the whole club went to tour the Bessie Smith Cultural Center, which I like to see. I like them spending some time on the old 9th Street and 9th Avenue, whatever it was, 9th Street. Yep. And which is now MLK Boulevard. So that was nice. That was good to see. I don't know. Did you guys see that? Have any thoughts about those things?
You know, I run for both of them. And fun fact, the Bessie Smith Hall is where my senior prom was. Small world. But no, I did see both of them. And Read Across America is something I've participated in for years, like not prior to club too. So it's something that I just find special anyway. Because kids, I mean, it's cool. Because kids, whenever they see something other than their teachers, they get really excited anyway. And they love being able to help pick out the books that you're reading to them. But I like that even before the season started, we're really driving home our community focus and our community involvement. And we are going with things and like, we're trying to tap into, you know, regional and local things. I don't think we've ever done anything with the Cultural Center for Bessie Smith. And so I think that's something that highlights, you know, the importance that we're trying to drive home of getting into our community deeply and parts of the community that we normally haven't. And also hopefully will help drive and generate some foot traffic to the Bessie Smith Hall too, as well. Cause it's a really cool establishment. I encourage anyone to go there. Cause it was just really neat to learn about the history. So, I was very pleasantly pleased and very happy that they did that. And that they are having new players, theoretically, other than Richard, actually get into the community early on. So it really helps mm-hmm. them understand why we find it important to work with our community and to give back.
Yeah.
Well, and not only that, it doesn't just give them visibility into the club's ethos, which is huge and important, but it also just gives them visibility in general to the community and for the community. So, you know, watching the video of them touring the Bessie Smith Cultural Center, there is so much genuine joy and happiness in their faces. They're enjoying it. And you can see all the newer people, you know, are not local signings, are getting a chance to feel like they're a part of something. They're a part of a community and they're learning a little bit more about Chattanooga too. I just think it's a beautiful thing.
Yep. Broadens, you know, their horizons.
The word that keeps coming up is like community, right? And this club, we always say community club, community club. And you can pay all the lip service that you want to it, but this does more than pay lip service. This is getting the, and we, this isn't the first time, but this actually is our players going out and getting involved in the community, whether it is reading or whether it's going and find, you know, seeing the history that's within the city. All those are things that actually do more than pay lip service and us saying, and we see other clubs say, use the word community. And, you know, as well as I do, there's nothing behind what they say.
It's empty words.
So anytime that the players in the club get a chance to get out and interact with other people in the area, I think it's a great thing. And it just doubles down this idea that this is a club for the people, by the people, and a club of the community.
Yeah, and you know what? It's making me very excited for when our women's players get here, because that was something that we really wanted to make sure we had continuity throughout, is that our women's team has similar opportunities that they get out in the community and they give back and they learn about the city and why, you know, we love our hometown and things of that nature too. So it just makes me excited to see what they're going to be doing whenever that time comes to kind of help bring it all.
And on that note, And on that note, I also saw some social media releases about introducing, which, speaking of good content, if you're not following OGA, there's some good content there. They did.
Yes.
did you see the one they did, Jim?
Family Matters.
Yeah. That was really
good.
Yes. Yeah. The Family Matters was really good. And you know, they have spread, they have extended their outreach all the way up here to Bradley County, which I certainly appreciate. Actually a local school not too far from where I live. And unfortunately I was going to help coach, but unfortunately their coaching is on the same days that I work. So it was never going to happen, but I still love seeing them reaching out up in as far as Bradley County. And so give them a follow. Good guys. I got a chance to meet them. I think it was maybe back in the fall. There's some good guys and support them as well.
Well, we don't really have any women's team news. We don't have a coach yet. I guess you can scratch off that tryouts are not going to happen in late February.
Since we are now in early March.
In March.
That early March may get moved to late March at this point.
Yeah. So now we're shifting the window from late to mid-March. Yeah,
Shabby, are you now going to be playing as a member of the women's team?
Who knows? Maybe at this point I'll be coach.
Hey!
We don't even know.
Yeah. So yeah, we'll have to come back next week and maybe we'll have some women's news. I do want to end the kind of the show with a reminder for folks, if they haven't already, to look at and consider giving some money to Axel and his family. Again, we talked about him 2 weeks ago or last week, I don't remember, where he plays for the Academy and was recently diagnosed with leukemia. You can go to ChattanoogaSoccer.com/Axel, A-X-E-L, and find out more about how to donate and give some money to him and his family. And we wish him the best. So guys, I think that's it for tonight. I'm happy. I have some editing to do, but you know, that's just the gig I have.
You can do it while you watch TV. That's what you told us last week.
That's right. I can. Well, thanks everybody for listening. I haven't done this in a while, but just to remind everyone who's listening, you can go to iTunes and give us 5 stars. It's been a while since anybody has ranked us, has given us some feedback. The last person that gave us feedback talked all about how great Todd was. So I need to get that off the front page of the podcast.
Thanks, Mom.
So if you don't mind, you can go to iTunes or Spotify and give us a 5-star rating and give us some feedback. Tell us what you like, or, well, just what you like. I don't want to hear what you don't like. I can't take that. Again, this is Jim. You can find me on Twitter at Chattagooner. Excuse me. Shelly, where can they find you on the internet?
You can find me on Twitter at ShellyEars82 or on Instagram at ShellyBell9.
And Shabby, where can they find you?
Find me on Twitter at ShabbyBell, ShabbyBelle.
Todd, where can the folks find you on Twitter or Instagram or public access television in Georgia?
That's pretty funny. So you can find me on Twitter at Great Football, and you'll find me supporting Chattanooga Football Club, the club that doesn't shoot trialists. And you can also find me at WDNN Monday Night Football if you're into that North Georgia soccer scene. And that's football with FUTBOL.
That's right. How it's supposed to be spelled. All right. Well, until next week, we'll see y'all later. Go CFC.
Go Blue.
Oh, Stradivera, what a cheeky goal.